Acha Gargamuni said, Yadunam of the Adu dynasty, Aham, I am, Acharyaha, the priestly guide or Purohita, Yatta cha, this is already known, Bhuvi, everywhere. Sarvada, always. Sutam, the sun. Maya, by me. Sangstritam, having undergone a purificatory process. Te, of you. Manyate, would be considered. Devaki Sutam, the son of Devaki. Translation. Gargamuni said, my dear Nandanaraj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. This is known everywhere. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process for your sons, Kansa will consider them the sons of Devaki. To repeat, Gargamuni said, my dear Nanda Maharaj, I am the priestly guide of the Yadu dynasty. This is known everywhere. Therefore, if I perform the purificatory process for your sons, Kansa will consider them the sons of Devaki. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gargamuni indirectly disclosed that Krishna was the son of Devaki, not of Yashoda. Since Kansa was already searching for Krishna, if the purificatory process were undertaken by Gargamuni, Kansa might be informed, and that would create a catastrophe. It may be argued that although Gargamuni was the priest of the Yadav dynasty, Nanda Maharaj also belonged to that dynasty. Nanda Maharaj, however, was not acting as a Kshatriya. Therefore, Gargamuni said, if I act as your priest, this will confirm that Krishna is the son of Devaki. So this is pretty much just the storyline. So we're going to read this verse and then the next verse with its purport and the third verse as a more elaborate purport. So, texts 8 to 9. Kansa papa mati sokyam tava chanak yadundubhye nivakya ashtamo garbo nastri vavitum arhati iti sanchintehan shutva devakya darika vajaha abhihunta gatha sankas tarhi tanno niyomavet. Kansa is both a great diplomat and a very sinful man. Therefore, having heard from Yogamaya, the daughter of Devaki, that the child who will kill him has already been born somewhere else, having heard that the eighth pregnancy of Devaki could not bring forth a female child, and having understood your friendship with Vasudeva, Kansa, upon hearing that the purificatory process has been performed by me, the priest of the Yadu dynasty, may certainly consider all these points and suspect that Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudeva. Thus he might take steps to kill Krishna. That would be a catastrophe. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Kamsa knew very well that Yogamaya was, after all, the maidservant of Krishna and Vishnu, and that although Yogamaya had appeared as the daughter of Devaki, she might have been forbidden to disclose this fact. Actually, this was what had happened. Gargamuni argued very soberly that his taking part in performing the reformatory process for Krishna would give rise to many doubts so that Kansa might take very severe steps to kill the child. Kansa had already sent many demons to attempt to kill this child, but none of them had survived. If Gargamuni were to perform the purificatory process, Kansa's suspicions would be fully confirmed and he would take very severe steps. Garga Muni gave this warning to Nanda Maharaj. Well, finally, text 10. Shri Nanda Vacha Alakshito Smin Rahasi Mamakarapiko Braje Kuru Dvijati Sanskaram Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Nanda Maharaj said, "My dear great sage, you think that you're performing this process of purification will make Kamsa suspicious, then secretly chant the Vedic hymns and perform the purifying process of second birth here in the cow shed of my house without the knowledge of anyone else, even my relatives, for this process of purification is essential." Very interesting. So, purport. Nanda Maharaj did not like the idea of avoiding the purificatory process despite the many obstacles. He wanted to take advantage of Garga Muni's presence and do what was needed. The purificatory process is essential, especially for Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Therefore, since Nanda Maharaj presented himself as a Vaishya, this process of purification was essential. Formerly, such institutional activities were compulsory. Chatur Varna Maya Shrishtam Gunakarma Vivagasa. Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 13. Without these activities of purification, the society would be considered a society of animals. To take advantage of Garga Muni's presence, Nanda Maharaj wanted to perform the Nama Karana ceremonies even secretly without any gorgeous arrangements. Therefore, the opportunity for purification should be regarded as the essential duty of human society. In Kali Yuga, however, people have forgotten the essence. Manda sumanda matiho manda bhagya yupadurtaha. That's from the Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 10. In this age, people are all bad and unfortunate, and they do not accept Vedic instructions to make their life successful. Nanda Maharaj, however, did not want to neglect anything. To keep intact a happy society advanced in spiritual knowledge, he took full advantage of Garga Muni's presence to do what was necessary. How degraded society has become within 5,000 years. Manda, sumanda, mateo, mundo, bolya. The human life is obtained after many, many billions, millions of births, and it is intended for purification. Previously, a father was eager to give all kinds of help to elevate his children, but at present, because of being misguided, people are prepared even to kill and avoid responsibility of raising children. Oh, a political issue here. So, Omagana Timanandasha Gananjana Shlakya Chakshuram Nuditam Yena Tasmai Shri Ganave Namaha. There's a few words about the verse, and then we'll talk about some samskaras and Kali Yuga. So, in the verse it says, Swasti Vachana Purvakam. Purvakam means before. Swasti Vachana is a special hymn from the Rig Veda that is done before the ceremony begins. And I'm going to read that hymn just so you're aware of it. Not that I know the hymn, because as a sannyasi, I don't do these ritualistic performances. I just chant Hare Krishna. So the hymn, the Swasti Vachana, is, and actually all the Brahmanas know this by heart. This is something that's just like ABC for them. It's Punantu ma deva jana, Punantu manasadhyaha, Punantu vishva bhutani, Jata veda punehi mam. I'm sure some of you heard that before, right? No? If you've been to any Vedic ceremony, you would have heard that. And the, what this says basically is, may the devatas purify me, may the intelligent purify me by their minds, may living entities in the universe purify me, and may fire purify me. That's from the Rig Veda. It's done before all the ritualistic ceremonies. And then at another point about the, so that's mentioned here, Swasti Vachana Purvakam, you know, that's done in the beginning of all the Vedic sacrifices. And then another point is the Gobraje. Let's see, Api Gobraje Kuru Vijati, Samskara, that do their ceremony in the place of the cows. You know, go to the cows, basically. This probably translates the cow shed. It means where the cows go, or the cow shed. Anyway, so the cow shed is taken in this particular context because that's a pure place. In the Vedic system, practically everything about the cow is considered pure. It's such an important point, cow protection. Krishi go raksha vanijam, vaisha karma svabhavajam. Go raksha. Raksha means to protect, so krishi go raksha. So the activity of the vaishas is protecting the cows. Now it's very interesting. I was thinking about this in regard to our ISKCON society, about our particular priorities. This is a side issue, something I was thinking about recently. That people generally think the purpose of the cow is to give milk. But the first priority is protecting the cow. And then the milk comes as a result of protecting the cow. So that has to be the consciousness. Not that you have cows to give milk, but you protect cows and the milk comes. Doesn't it? You understand? Mm-hmm. The priority is there. So sometimes we see that people think, you know, the cow, the whole purpose of the cow is to give us milk. That's the first priority. And as a result, they'll turn the cow into a milk-producing factory. And they may even, you know, devotees like may mistreat the cows in so many ways just so they get the maximum quantity of milk from it. I'm not going to comment about machine milking. I mean, that's a controversial subject matter in and of itself. So they'll consider that more important. Why should we get a cow? Because we want to have milk. No. We should get a cow because it's auspicious and we want to protect the cows. And then as a result of protecting the cows, you get milk. You understand the priority? I'm not decrying milk, even though I happen to be a vegan. I'm not decrying milk consumption. It's actually, as Prabhupada said, it actually helps one develop finer brain tissues, you know, which are essential for thinking about Krishna consciousness. And the cow is considered to be one of our mothers. That's another issue that I was thinking about, mothers. You know, you have these seven mothers. So I was thinking about why, I guess it's not the topic of class, but I think it's important to elaborate on this. You know, why you have all these injunctions that one should see every woman other than his wife as his mother. One should see the cow as the mother, the nurse as the mother, the king's wife as the mother. The Brahmin's wife is the mother, etc. The earth is the mother. You know, you have these seven mothers that are being described. So I was thinking, why is all this mother stuff? Interesting mother stuff. And I was saying, the reason I can't understand it, or I couldn't understand it, is because in the West, the mother is not really held in such high esteem. Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you just think, and even they have like swear words using mother. And so, you know, the mother is someone, you know, who nags you and tells you to do this, and eventually you want to get your independence and run away, right? Mm-hmm. That's mother. But in the culture, in the Vedic culture, you have, the mother is considered like a worshipful deity, basically. I mean, isn't it? I mean, the mother is given everything to the child, and so the mother is held in the highest esteem, like a queen. It's like equivalent to saying, or not quite queen, but just like almost exalted personality. You understand? So the word mother, because I was always having a hard time relating to everybody else, all the ladies as mothers, and thinking, what's going on with me? Am I simply like in Maya? Not simply in Maya, but always in Maya. And then I thought, no, the concept is that they're considered to be very exalted, like Lakshmi. Not that you have to relate to them, like your mother, like my mother. You know, so because in the West, it's just, we don't have the right conception of what mother means. I mean, very few of us Westerners will think respectfully about our mothers or put a picture of our mothers on the wall. I mean, how many of you Westerners have a picture of your mother on the wall? No, of course you're not. You probably do, right?
No.
No. If you're a Westerner, you're an ABCD.
Yeah.
American-born confused Asian. So that's really why Prabhupada and the Acharyas and Chanakya Pandit and all these other people, they talk about mother. And the cattle is considered like worshipable. In other words, mother equals worshipable. And if people understand that in relationship to women and cows and, you know, the earth, you know, nowadays, of course, with global warming and mistreatment of the earth and drilling into the earth, then I think people's activities and consciousness would change dramatically, especially the relationship between men and women would actually be much sweeter and much more in accordance with what Prabhupada expected us to have. So that's, I mean, that's just unpacking my own realization about why Prabhupada and Chanakya Pandit and everyone else had us thinking or wanted us to think about other ladies as mothers and cows as mothers, because it means respectable. Not someone who's supposed to serve me, but someone who is very respectable and worshipable. And when you think like that, then all sorts of lust disappears from one's heart. Isn't it? It actually disappears from one's heart when you just see. For example, let's say you have Queen Elizabeth or something like that. You don't think lustfully after her because she's the Queen Mother. I mean, if you were in the UK, you wouldn't think. So anyway, so that's a good point. But let's talk about the primary topic here, which is samskara. The word samskara is quite an interesting word. And our Sanskrit expert can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, samskara is like sankirtan,
yeah.
Right? Skara means, is like kriti or work, right?
Yeah.
It means perfect or complete work, right?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Otherwise, I would have gotten angry with you. So, now it means complete work, but it means basically it's taken in Sanskrit, or taken to mean a impression, something that creates an impression or an imprint, or complete impression or a complete imprint. Just like we talk about someone imprinting something. Just like if you had a traumatic experience, right? You imprinted that in your consciousness. I remember several traumatic experiences. Fortunately, none of them happened in the Hare Krishna movement. But traumatic experiences before, like knowing the Krishna. And the memory is just like as if it happened yesterday. So that's an impression or an imprint in the heart. And so throughout our sojourn in this world, we are accumulating many different impressions in the heart. Of course, these impressions are called, use another Sanskrit, Kashmalam. What does Kashmalam mean?
I haven't heard of that.
That's it. That's from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita.
Oh.
Kutas Twa Kashmalam.
Dirt,
yes. Impurities. Prabhupada translates as impurities. See? You gotta learn some Sanskrit.
Yeah.
At the feet of you. So, kutas tva kashmalami dam. Like Krishna says to Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? So that's all the impressions that we have had, namely, they're impurities. That are in the heart. And that's why it's very important also to protect children. I mean, that's why we've emphasized having an educational system for children as well as adults. because the children are very impressionable, actually even more than adults. And so it's important to protect people from having dirty impressions, you know, impressions of things that are not conducive to Krishna consciousness. Now, of course, sometimes we get accused that, why don't you expose the children to all these things, you know, because that way they'll develop immunities, just like you have vaccinations, right? That's a big controversial thing now, too. There's these anti-vaxxers. Anyone's heard about that? Anti-vaxxers. So the vaccination means you expose something, a child or an adult, to a particular disease that they actually kill the disease but allow the same genetic material to be there so that the person develops immunity towards that disease. In other words, you'll have like polio. There's a polio virus. And then you'll subject the polio virus to radiation or some other means to kill the virus, and the virus is dead. And then you inject it in someone's body, right? And then the immune system, with the killer T cells and the other nice parts of the immune system, they see that and identify it as an invader, and they produce all these antibodies against that particular invader. So when the real invader comes, the live invader comes, what happens? You have immunity. That's the system of vaccination. I mean, I'm not taking a pro or con position on it. I said, that's the system. However, the problem with exposing the children to everything is that you don't have dead viruses, dead Maya. It's live Maya. You understand? So that whole argument that we should expose the children to all this variety of nonsense and everything like that and let them choose later on, because their minds will be filled with this garbage and they may get addicted to different aspects of this garbage. So therefore, protecting children is extremely important from these different impressions, and also protecting adults. I mean, that's why Prabhupada emphasized in the early days of the movement different do-nots, which devotees called donuts, or Prabhupada called donuts. Prabhupada said, we have so many donuts in our movement. Not only the do-nots, take intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meeting, but, you know, Prabhupada even talked about newspapers. I don't know if any of you remember what a newspaper is. That's before the internet. They used to have newspapers. So Prabhupada talked about newspapers. Devotees. I mean, of course, Prabhupada did read newspapers himself, but he didn't simply devour them like people do. Like I go to visit my mother, and there's a pile of newspapers like this high. And she sits all day long reading them, you know, and getting depressed, Wall Street Journal. And of course, nowadays, we just go on the internet and sit all day long reading, you know, Googling different things. So it's pretty much the same thing. But it contaminates the mind. You know, I notice in my own mind, you know, reading the news, I start thinking, practically, I bring up the name of the President of the United States almost in every class. Because it just makes that impression in the mind. So, of course, sometimes these things can't be avoided. One is a preacher, one has to be aware of the news and everything like that. However, as Prabhupada mentions here, Amanda Sumanda Matiyo Manda Bhagya Padrata, this Kali Yuga, you know, everyone's unfortunate, short-lived, no memory, etc., like that. And there's so much impure things going on, even in the atmosphere. Everything is just like contaminated. The whole atmosphere is basically contaminated. The vibration, even the subtle aspects of the material nature. Alright? The material nature, just even accidentally during Kali Yuga. I mean, just like if you go into a holy place, you can actually feel the difference in the atmosphere. You go into the temple room here, you feel the difference. So the Prabhupada said the temple is Vaikuntha. It's a holy place. But you walk out there and, you know, even now that we have a workers working in the hall, So, but you have to go out. You can't just like stay inside all the time. And like the brahmacharis in New York, I remember they wouldn't even let the women in the temple room to chant japa. You know, pretty crazy. The mothers means like people you should worship. You should let them in the temple before you go in the temple. If you take the word mother in the proper way, right? Then you say, oh, no, they have first priority, not me. But people take the word mother as just like a pejorative of the mothers. You know, Prabhus and the mothers, like that. So, anyway, getting back to the point, so that every aspect of the atmosphere in Kali Yuga is so polluted, and, you know, wherever you go, whatever you see, like when, even in another yuga, like a jamil, Prabhupada comments that the jamil saw a shudra and a prostitute embracing. And Prabhupada said that was uncommon in those days. But now you see it everywhere. I mean, even yesterday, I went to Home Depot and I saw that. I mean, you think Home Depot, you know, that's a chase place, you know, people looking for building materials. What are people kissing at Home Depot for? So, or if you watch a Bollywood movie, they're having romantic exchanges in the middle of a Bombay railway station, isn't it? And dancing around in circles, like an imitation Rasalila dance. So everywhere in Kali Yuga. So samskaras are essential. You know, impressions are essential. Now, what do I mean in this particular context by samskaras? And this is an important point for me, is that we don't just wait until it's time for a samskara, a traditional samskara. In other words, you know, if I have to wait, well, actually, as a sannyasi, the only samskara for me at this point is antyeshti. So, you know, if I had to wait for the next samskara to get an impression, I'd be in trouble, right? I mean, I have to wait till death. Not such a good samskara. Anyways, you know, but actually, for people who are not sannyasis, there's different samskaras, especially for the higher classes. Generally, the shudras, vivaha is the only real samskara, maybe namakarana too. But for the higher class, you've got these namakarana, you know, and, you know, there's the chalk ceremony. Nowadays, you give someone a computer, right? There's a ceremony before one goes to school, one gets a piece of chalk, and now you give someone an iPhone or something like that. You know, that's a modern day samskara. So, anyway, so you have all these samskaras, but even so, they're really space, a long distance, a long time between them. So what do you do in Kali Yuga? Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement, the way Prabhupada has given us Krishna consciousness, which most devotees don't really understand, is that we need to have a samskara every day. Now, I'm not talking about traditional daily samskara. I am talking about the actual meaning, purpose of a samskara, which means an impression in the heart. And what does that mean? It starts with an S, sadhana. Sadhana. Sadhana bhakti. I mean, many devotees, they think that they can be Krishna conscious without reading regularly. Prabhupada said people don't read his books or hear from him at least. It's like every morning I'm hearing from Prabhupada. This little nice device. If people don't read or hear from Prabhupada regularly, Prabhupada said they'll go away. If people don't attend, or at least have a morning program in their house and have some sort of sadhana early in the morning. I mean, why did Prabhupada emphasize rising early in the morning before Brahma Muhurta begins? Why did Prabhupada emphasize that? Because you're not going to really have good sadhana later in the day unless you're an exceptional person. Because that's when the mode of passion kicks in, the mode of ignorance kicks in. So you need that. That's your samskara. Sadhana is your samskara. And that every day, if you don't have a samskara, then you will actually revert. Or even worse than revert, you'll be influenced by the agents of Kali. I mean, it's quite dangerous. Like Prabhupada, you know, oftentimes, like it was quote, like Prabhupada said, you Western boys and girls, also, you ABCDs, are not, ABCD boys and girls, are not enough afraid of Maya. So it's essential to have this sadhana every morning and hear from Bhagavatam, hear the holy names and associate with devotees. I mean, purification means associating with the devotees, hearing the holy names, living in a holy place. You know, the five important principles, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you're worshipping Tulsi. That's our samskaras. So for us, that's practical. I mean, even if we don't do